Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
If you had an FAQ, frequently asked questions, like what's the most frequently asked question you get?
It's probably something to the effect of, how hard is it to work with Jeremy? Is he really a jerk because he sounds like that on the air? And I go, yeah, he really is.
I would have thought it would have been something like, what is your thought process when it comes to picking the Bills?
It is something about pick. It's now pick the Bills. It was never one big thing. It's always whatever's in season. Hey, how are the Bills doing? Hey, what'd you think of the game? Hey, how are the Sabres going to be? Although I feel like I'm going to get fewer questions about the Sabres now. But I think if there's like one thing, I'm kidding around, by the way. Nobody asks me what it's like to work with you. If there's one thing now.
They just assume it's terrible.
If there's one thing now, it is definitely something in regards to pick the Bills.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
They turn the music down a little bit for me. My headphones are all jacked. I was cranking music earlier.
That and Howard decided to take a bathroom break just before we opened the show.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Actually, it is what it is.
All right. I'm having difficulties on my end regarding the volume in my ears. So as long as I'm the only one that talks. No, I'm kidding. Anyway, happy Thursday. Football's back today. We got another Bills opponent. We can scout another Bills opponent with the Houston Texans.
Hello.
Hey.
Sorry, I was out in the hallway. Are we having fun today? Apparently not.
Everything's fine. It's just that your all of the things coming to you from me are very loud.
Coming to you from me are very loud. Yeah, I'm okay. You want me to whisper during the show today? Would that help? Is it like you have a hangover, so you're hearing me too loudly?
Yeah.
Or I could talk very quietly.
No, that's all right. Just give me a minute.
I could do like, you know what I'll do? Go ahead. I'll do a golf voice for 4 hours. Well, the good news is we got lots going on the show today. We do have some Bills football to get to, of course, as we talk more about Sunday's matchup with the Washington football team. We do have the Sabres opening training camp. They're on the ice today. I don't believe today's practices are open to the public because I think they're at KeyBank Center, right?
Right. All practices at KeyBank Center are closed to the public, but if they're practicing at Harbor Center, it's open to the public.
And I believe they're practicing at Harbor Center tomorrow, but I will double-check their training camp schedule. So we've got some Sabres stuff to get to with camp opening up. Dahlin gets a new contract. We got that to get to. We've got Sabres press conferences we're going to bring you on the show today. Kevin Adams, the GM, will meet with the media at 8:30 this morning. We are planning on having that for you live. Paul will be down there as well for that. And then Don Granato will talk to the media at 9:15. We will also plan on having that live here on WGR.
I've got the first question for Kevin Adams. Are you ready? I got the first question.
Okay, I assume it's something Eichel-related?
Never assume with me.
Uh-huh.
But I'd like the Sabres to invite me and grant me first question. And I would say, good morning, Kevin. Good to see you.
Good morning, Jeremy, he would say.
Yeah, Jeremy White, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Yes, you have to introduce yourself.
I need to get whoever it was, like the famous White House correspondent.
Helen Thomas.
She always got the first question.
Helen Thomas.
With Reagan?
Yep. Well, okay. she was covering the White House for a while, but yes.
Okay. I'll be Helen Thomas. Kevin, you know, you're about to embark on your first season. Obviously, a lot going on. Perhaps a dream come true for you to be in this spot. Did you ever think it would happen in a league that had a team named the Kraken?
Okay. I would not have had that in the media pool of first question to come up.
I feel like he should get on the record with now that this horrible team name No?
No, I don't.
Not
the
first question.
Although, you know, I like it. It's a little nuanced.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely not one he would expect.
Yeah.
I think he would probably crack a slight little giggle there, you know, a little laugh maybe.
Trying to break the ice, you know.
Yeah, because I feel like there'll be a string of Eichel questions for the first few minutes of the press conference.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. And then they'll move on to whatever else they have to move on to. So we have that for everybody. We got Thursday Night Football tonight. You get to scout the Bills' next opponent in week 4. Houston is playing tonight. What else do we have? And we got some other football news. Tua Tagovailoa's rib injury is a little worse than initially thought. It's not bruised. They are fractured ribs. He might miss the second game against the Bills. And
I also read a report that they had to convince him not to play.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You would think that the incredible pain when he breathes would be the convincing part with broken ribs.
Yeah.
Like, hey, Tua, cough for a second. Ow! Yeah, see? Imagine getting hit at this point. So we have that to get to. Yeah, so we got a lot going on, and I know you wanted to talk about AFC power rankings. We've got first-year eligibles for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. We have a plethora of things to get to over the course of the morning today.
Yeah, maybe a little football music. So every Wednesday, Shopin the Bulldog and Joe, Sneaky Joe, they rank the AFC, basically who's the best, who's the worst, from 16 to 1. And, you know, they open the show with the AFC rankings. They do it on Wednesdays. And I listened yesterday, and I'm waiting for them. You know, they're counting down slowly. And they tweeted out their list. You know, where did they get it wrong? At WGR550.com. You can, or the WGR Twitter feed, I should say. So, you know, where did I get it wrong? Where did we get it wrong? And I wanted to write back to the Twitter account, and I thought, you know what? I'll just wait till the morning, and we'll talk about it. Because, you know, we're trying to decide who's better than the Bills, who's on their heels from 16 to 1. And there are a lot of power rankings out there, but why not do the afternoon shows rankings? You know, we can take shots at them instead of just talking about, you know, like Bucky Brooks or somebody like, you know, Daniel Jeremy.
I thought we were power ranking afternoon shows. I got Mike and Chris pretty low on the list.
But I thought we can go through their AFC their AFC reverse ranking from 16 to 1 and talk about where we might disagree with them. Because they do – it's not unanimous from them. You know, some of them were higher on the Raiders than the others. Some thought that Denver should have been high. Where do you put the Chargers? So we might not agree with them, and we also might not agree with each other if you're ranking the AFC reverse.
I tried to break mine into groupings, and I tried to come up with fancy little titles for them. It's not quite finished yet.
Like tiers?
Yeah, right.
Where you wouldn't
be mad.
And
naming the tiers.
Yeah, you wouldn't be mad if you separated Pittsburgh and Denver, flip-flop, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's go through their rankings reversed, because they do this on Wednesdays, and we can just do this on Thursdays.
Okay, this is good. So if we're doing reversed, my first group is called Why Are You Even Here?
Jacksonville is 16.
Yeah.
No problem with that. They look like the worst team in the league.
Yeah.
The Jets might have a claim to this soon.
Yeah.
But the Jaguars still look worse.
I agree. I have the Jaguars at 16.
You know that Trevor Lawrence has the most off-target throws, the highest percentage of off-target throws since?
Josh Allen?
No. Worse.
Does Nathan Peterman count?
Worse.
Nathan Peterman?
These are the highest percentage of off-target throws. Peterman's throws were on target. They were just defenders
true.
In the way.
That's right. He did throw accurate passes. It just went to the visitor or the other team.
The answer is?
Who?
Tim Tebow.
Oh, dear.
Trevor Lawrence has the highest percentage of off-target throws since Tim Tebow.
Oh, dear. Well, Urban Meyer they didn't coach him in the pros, but at least Urban Meyer has, you know, a connection to both quarterbacks now.
So Jacksonville 16, we're both good with it. Houston 15.
I disagree.
Should be the Jets.
Yeah, although, you know, there's a little asterisk now with Davis Mills, and if Tyrod Taylor is there, they're not 15 with Davis Mills. With Davis Mills, they might be tied for 16 with Jacksonville, but for now, I put the Jets worse off than the Texans.
I agree. Jets 15, Do we slide Houston to 14?
Yes, that's what I did.
14 Houston.
Those are the only three teams I had in the group of why are you even here?
Number 13,
yeah.
Reverse Chopin Bulldogs, reverse rankings. We've made one change. Number 13 is Miami.
Do I tell you where mine is right at 13?
I mean, let's discuss it.
Okay, see, I have, okay, in this group, I do have Miami, but I have them not at 13. Now, again, factor in Jacoby Brissett. That could be a really solid pick to put them in at 13. They might actually drop into the why are you even here category if Brissett has to play like 6 weeks. I think they're going to be that they're not good up front. Their offensive line is really bad. He doesn't get the ball out. That's a bad combination, and their running game is nothing really to speak of. So they could drop into the why are you even here group if he has to play at least another six games. For now, I'll leave them in the just watching group. Don't have them at 13, though. I have the Bengals there, actually.
Well, they have the Bengals at 12, and I'm fine with those two being in those two spots. And, you know, if you want to argue about Cincinnati, Miami, whatever. That's the bottom five in the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
That's their bottom five, Chopin Bulldogs' bottom five. We're good. So we'll move on to number 11. AFC tier, AFC reverse rankings from Chopin the Bulldog. They've got 11th, Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
I do not agree with this.
See, I had Indianapolis 12th.
Indianapolis has two good losses.
Yeah.
They've lost to two good teams.
Yeah, I know. But I think they're going to, I think they are having, going to have having, and Jacob Eason might be the quarterback for a little while. If he's got, supposedly.
Well, I mean, I don't want to do the who the quarterback's going to be. I want to be,
well,
how
I mean, look, Wentz,
how they've been.
Yeah, okay, well, they haven't been good with Wentz. And I don't think they'd be good with Eason. So I've got Indianapolis in that.
They lose a one-score game to the Rams?
Yeah, I'm not.
They had a lead against the Rams.
Just telling you, I have no faith in Carson Wentz to be healthy,
okay,
and play well. I don't think Indianapolis is going anywhere with those quarterbacks.
So you're okay with Indy 10, 11. Pittsburgh's 10.
Yeah, that's where I had them, actually.
Okay.
I do not have them as a playoff contender. They're just, their offense stinks. They should not be in discussion. If they have to be completely healthy with all of their key players on defense for 17 games this season, or close to 17 games this season. Their quarterback isn't good. Their offensive line isn't good. They wanted to run the ball better this year and more often. They're running more often, but they're not running it well. I don't know how that offense could win enough games to make this team a playoff contender. The defense has to win almost every game for them. And now, Watt's hurt. Bush was out. Hayden was out. Tuitt's been out. Alualu's out. I mean, I have no idea how these guys are going to be in playoff contention.
Ben Roethlisberger's QBR.
And he's got an injury.
His QBR, when clean and unpressured in the pocket, is 38.
Oh, my God. That's disgusting.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
For the ideal situation. When things are going well from a pass protection standpoint, his QBR is a 38.
Yeah.
So Pittsburgh 10 here in their rankings.
Mm-hmm.
We're still not having major problems. Jacksonville, Houston, Jets, Miami, Cincinnati, Indy, Pittsburgh. That's theirs. We've flopped a couple here and there, but nothing drastic.
But those, there's what? There's seven teams there?
Yeah.
None of them are playoff contenders right now. I know you would, I guess you would feel differently about the Colts. You wouldn't rule them out.
The Colts are going to get four games against the worst two teams.
Yeah, they're going to play the Jaguars and the Texans, right?
And they're going to stop playing the Rams and the Seahawks, who I think are respectable at least. Number nine in the AFC reverse rankings from Chopin the Bulldog, Denver.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm good with
Denver's
Denver there. Yeah.
2-0.
I think Denver's got I have them in the, now this is my playoff contender group, okay? I think they're in that listing there. They're not the best team in their division. They might not be they might actually be third or fourth in their division. That and we could be talking more and more as the season goes on about how good the AFC West is. I like Bridgewater. Their offense is better off than it was last year. They've upgraded at quarterback. I think they're still good enough defensively, and I think they could be a team that could contend for a playoff spot. So, yeah, I'm good with Denver right there. Oh, my goodness, they'll be in the hunt when the graphic starts at Thanksgiving.
I'm okay with Denver there, too. Middle of the road, could make the playoffs, won't win that division. Teddy Bridgewater leads the league in 20-plus air yard attempts. Gunslinger, wow. Teddy Bridgewater.
He needs to get Jerry Jeudy back, though.
Everywhere he goes, he's respectably good.
Right, that's why I think, you know, geez, I'm drawing a total blank. The other quarterback at in Denver.
Drew Lock.
Thank you. Yeah, the kid from Missouri. And I know they you know, we kept hearing how they like him. Look, the little bit I saw him against the Bills and some other times I've seen Denver, he wasn't good. I think Bridgewater does make them a better football team, and that's why I think they're in playoff contention. Their biggest problem is they're in the division where they play the Chiefs twice, the Raiders twice, and the Chargers twice, and all three teams might be better than Denver.
This is where we get to the, at least I get to, the biggest problem with the Chopin Bulldog AFC reverse rankings, as they do on Wednesdays. Number 8, they have the Chargers. New England has to go here.
Actually, I did put New England there, good sir.
New England has
they
to go.
They have New England too high.
Here's why. They have New England 5th.
Yeah, it's too high.
New England has to be behind a number of these teams. They are 2-0. I understand that. They beat the Jets, and they beat a team the Bills beat by 35. They lost to a team the Bills beat by 35 on an off day.
Yeah.
A one-point loss to Miami. Granted, it's a fumble. That's why. New England lost to Miami. They cannot be 5th. I know that Miami was lucky to win that game. How bad Miami looked, you lost to Miami. You cannot be in the top 5. New England has to be 8, and then everybody else in their ranking slides up. So number 7, this would make the Chargers the candidate.
Yeah, I put the Chargers ahead of Vegas only because I'm still skeptical about the Raiders. But I think New England's offense, they can't be 5th because they're way too limited on offense.
Mac Jones leads the league in on-target percentage for passes, but his average air yards traveled is like 3.
Right. I was going to ask you, what's the depth of target? What's the yards per attempt? I mean, is he completing over 70% of his passes, I think, at this point, maybe, right? I haven't checked it. But he's getting high marks out of New England. He's accurate. He's getting the ball out. He's making good decisions. And it's an incredibly limited passing offense. Again, I'm not being critical. This is a lot of times what the approach is when you start a rookie quarterback from day one. You want to throw in safe passes. Look, Miami did the same thing with Tua last year. You want to make the kid feel comfortable. You want to have him have some success. You're not just going to come out and go, all right, you make every throw Brady did. It doesn't work that way. So what they're doing is the smart approach to Mac Jones. And I, from what I saw in the preseason and a little bit of the Miami game, there are things to like about Mac Jones. But at the end of the day, it's too limited. With the better weapons, it still doesn't matter. They're not throwing downfield. I think their passing offense is going to be easy to stop. I don't think you're worried about a vertical game. I don't think you're worried about big explosive plays. It puts a lot of pressure on the running game to produce big plays. I just don't think that's a recipe for success offensively, even with a good defense, which is why they shouldn't be as high as 5th in the AFC. They're not. I have one group, like a first couple. I'm sorry. They're in that tier to me, Jeremy, with Vegas, the Chargers, Denver, probably Tennessee. New England is not the best of that group.
How could we even know if they have a good defense yet?
Right. Well, they played
Dolphins
two of
the
worst
Jets.
Offenses in the league right now. Right.
Right. Right. Right.
So I'm New England is way too high at 5, and I think they'll hang around as a playoff contender, but they're not that good.
They drop back to 8. Chargers, Titans, and Raiders. Is that a grouping of respectably good teams, not top tier?
Yep.
Vegas,
yep.
I'll tell you, Vegas doesn't get the respect. Vegas beat Baltimore.
Yeah.
Granted, it was an overtime, and Baltimore might have made mistakes in that game. And they walloped the Steelers.
Right.
So Vegas has 2 really good wins, I think.
They'll be 3-0.
On the road in Pittsburgh.
They're going to play Miami with Brissett Sunday. They'll be 3-0. Yeah, it's funny.
But they don't crack the top 4. Basically, what
not
this gets
yet,
to
no.
is the top 4.
Yes, not yet. No, none of those teams are in the – they're all on the outside looking into the top 4 at this point. Even Tennessee, I honestly have no idea what to tell you about the Titans. I think if I had to look back at it now – there might have been an overreaction to week one because Arizona's really good. And then Tennessee goes out. What do? They win in Seattle. They come from behind. They win in Seattle. They do what they do. They feed Derrick Henry, and they make some plays. They get some breaks. Seattle does a little bit of shooting themselves in the foot. But Tennessee is good, but they're not in that top group of 4. Maybe they're a little better than I thought, but I'm still skeptical of their defense. They're in that mix. Tennessee, Chargers, Raiders. Patriots, Broncos, I think you group all of them together. Throw them in a hat.
All right, so that basically gets us to the top 4. And the top 4 is Baltimore, Cleveland, Buffalo, Kansas City. So how do you rank those four? Let's look at the body of work.
Yeah. Are you going reverse order or top? Does it matter?
I want to talk about the four of them. We don't have to do a reverse order. We can play it out from here. Those are the four. Their body of work on the season. All four teams are 1-1.
Yeah.
Right? Baltimore lost in Vegas, beat the Chiefs. The Chiefs lost in Baltimore, beat the Browns.
Yeah.
The Browns lost to the Chiefs. Their win is over Houston. And the Bills have played the Dolphins, of course, and the Steelers.
Yeah, if you go
all
by
four
schedule.
Teams are 1-1.
Sorry, if you go by those four teams in their schedule, I would put the Bills at the bottom of the list. Pittsburgh and Miami are not exactly daunting opponents. The other three teams have played better schedules through their first two games.
And while Cleveland doesn't have a good win because they beat Houston, they have a good loss. They were up on Kansas City, and if they don't completely throw up on their shoes, they might win that game.
Right. Now, yeah, so that's why if you just go by, I would put the Bills as the second best team. But if you just go and look, okay, guys, who have they played and determine it from that, let's face it, the Bills 1-1 is not as impressive as the other 1-1s. Pittsburgh's a bad football team, and Miami is a train wreck right now.
Yep.
So, you know, but having said all that, Jeremy, in terms of how I feel about each team and ranking them in the AFC, I have the Bills second right now. I still think the passing game will be fine. They'll get the kinks worked out. The defense is playing well. I think they'll still end up being the second-best team in the conference.
Yeah, I mean, I have no problem. Kansas City won. Kansas City's won. Boy, Baltimore, Buffalo, Cleveland. Who would win? Would the Bills beat the Browns today? Would the Bills beat the Ravens today? Maybe. You know,
Ravens game is a lot tougher than I thought it was going to be. You know, I think the Bills have a better defense to match up against Baltimore than Kansas City did the other night.
Yeah, the Bills have played Lamar in Baltimore twice.
Yep.
And I think a big talking point around here is how they seem to have an answer for him, and that's not untrue. They've done pretty well. I mean, he hasn't gone off on them like he did the Chiefs the other night.
Even in the loss, right? That was the whole quality loss. Hey, the Bills did a better job at that year, at that point. In his MVP year, they did one of the better jobs against them.
Right. He's 1-1. They've scored not that much against Baltimore still. Last year, Josh throws for 207 and one touchdown in that playoff game against the Ravens. So I'm inclined to think that if they played 10 times, maybe the Bills win 6 out of the 10. It's 6-4.
Right.
Maybe 7-3. I mean, Baltimore's certainly good enough to win those games. Cleveland, the Bills played Baker Mayfield one time. He beat him.
Yeah.
Baker and the Browns did beat the Bills. Another day where, you know, you can say the Bills didn't play all that well.
Yeah, well,
the Browns won that game despite a Bills 8-play goal line stand.
I believe the Browns did their best to give the game to the Bills that day, and then the Bills said, no, thank you.
Yeah. So I still think, and I'm not – Kansas City, there was a very interesting stat they gave on Kansas City, though, Mike Shope and the Bulldog and Sneaky Joe. Again, we're going through their AFC reverse rankings, just kind of evaluating it. The Chiefs haven't won a game by double digits since halfway through last year.
Yeah.
Which is kind of amazing that they are talked about as a unstoppable force that, you know, they never lose.
Yeah.
Of course, the Super Bowl, too. But they haven't won a game by double digits in half a season or more.
Yeah, I feel like I remember you and I would have been discussing that at some point, talking about the margin of victory for them, as opposed to just toying with teams and destroying them. After they lost to the Raiders, they would have gone on probably on some winning streak, maybe until the meaningless finale, but they weren't blowing teams out. Right. They were winning, but they were winning by closer margins, one possession games, whatever the thing would have been. I do remember that, but it's still, and I know they lost to Baltimore and their defense hasn't looked good, and they overhauled their offensive line, and there were, you know, they have some questions, right? They're still, I mean, unless somebody shows me much differently, despite the loss the other night, I think Kansas City's in its own little tier. It's still the top team in the AFC. And then I would have the Bills. I'd probably put Baltimore ahead of Cleveland, only because Baltimore beat Kansas City head-to-head and Cleveland lost to Kansas City head-to-head.
Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs, if nothing else, they've won the AFC the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Baltimore and Cleveland and Buffalo.
Yeah, the Baltimore-Cleveland games should be juicy.
Mm-hmm.
I should look at the schedule, see when they play. Hopefully we don't have to wait until December, you know, to see the first Ravens-Browns game. But yeah, I think that's still, to me, it's Kansas City is in their own little group, their tier. And I think then, you know, this is not anything really surprising. Then Bills, Baltimore, Cleveland. And then I think you have a handful of teams in the hat that are playoff contenders, but in their third tier. And then you have everybody else broken down. But yeah, I think It's about right. New England. Yeah, I thought their list was fine. High. New England, to me, that was the thing. I'm going through it. KC, Buffalo, Cleveland, Baltimore, right? New England, too high. I mean, that, of everything they had, I'm good with the placement of just about everybody, except New England's too high.
That's how I felt about it, too. And I say that as someone who I spent the offseason telling you I'm high on New England.
Yeah.
I think they will have a bounce-back year and make the playoffs. I just don't think they've earned a top five spot yet. They don't have a single good win, and the Raiders have two.
You know what it was with New England for me? It was, well, first off, I anticipated Cam Newton was going to win the job. And he didn't play that badly in the preseason, but it sounds like they just thought Mac Jones played better and this is the way to go. I figured their defense would be better, maybe not back at the level it was 2 years ago, but certainly better than it was last year. I mean, the Bills shredded that group in Foxborough. So they would be better on that side of the ball, and their offense had to be better. I mean, they rolled out you, me, and Brayton at skill positions last year in their passing game. So the offense was going to be better. The defense was going to be better. And Newton would be the guy who could get the ball to those improved tight ends and improved wide receivers, even though last year, quite honestly, Cam looked like, well, he looked bad. But I thought he would play better and it would all come together. They wouldn't win the division, of course, but a solid bet for a wild card, be in the division race with the Bills right into December and eventually get a wild card. But their offense, the first two games, you know, say what you want about what they put up, 20-something, whatever, against the Jets. But, I mean, my goodness, they were getting break after break after break because the Jets were giving them the ball with Zach Wilson interceptions. It was too easy that day. I think their offense is really going to struggle this year. The kid's going to learn, and he might be good, but it's limited. And when you have to limit what you can do offensively because your quarterback is learning, that's too easy for other defenses to stop you. And I think that's going to be problematic for New England going forward. I mean, they could get blown out by Tampa in week four.
Oh, yeah.
Which would be really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, who are they playing this week? Do you remember who New England's playing?
Don't tell me.
I can't because I don't remember who they're playing. I'm trying to it's spinning in my head. Brayton, do we remember who New England's playing this
New
week?
New Orleans.
Oh, really? That's right.
Yep.
Wow, that could be interesting.
It's like a I wouldn't touch it game.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure which Saints team shows up. That's fascinating.
Well, they may not be in New Orleans because of Hurricane Ida still.
No, they're not back. I don't think they're back yet, are they? They were practicing in Texas this week.
No, New Orleans is coming to New England.
So,
yeah.
So hopefully New England loses. Then they get crushed by Tampa. They could be 1-3 after the first month of the season. Yeah, New England's not 5. Hey, we're already late to the first break. Eh, you know, at least we're consistent. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. It's Thursday and it's dark outside. So if you want to talk about the power rankings, want to get into Bills Washington stuff. Josh Allen spoke to the media yesterday and talked about how he knows he hasn't played great the last two games. We'll talk a little bit about Josh and some of his comments. We've got Sabres camp opening up this morning. We'll get into that as well. On the show today, Sal with us at 8. Paul's going to join us around 9:30, and we'll have the press conferences from Kevin Adams at 8:30 and Don Granato at 9:15, all headed your way on WGR.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People.
I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The communication at the back of the second quarter, the back half of the second quarter, into the locker room by the offensive staff, and then the execution by the players, that's really what it came down to.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott. Bills getting ready to take on the Washington football team Sunday at Highmark Stadium. Of course, we'll have the game here on WGR beginning at 7. Breakfast with the Bills and 1 o'clock kickoff. And the game, again, is on Fox, if you're looking for it. Former Louport star and West New Yorker and Syracuse guy, right? Daryl Johnston, right? He will be handling the analysis on the Fox telecast on Sunday.
Speaking of the telecast, looking at the maps.
Oh,
the
I forgot.
Game,
yeah, I forgot
yeah,
to look
the
at
games
the map.
We get.
Yeah. Hang on, I'll
so
pull
So we're getting Miami-Vegas late game. Ian Eagle and Charles Davis on CBS. Fox, it's a doubleheader, of course, the Bills game. And then the Fox late game is, oh, yeah, Tampa and the Rams.
Oh, yeah. Goodbye, Miami-Vegas. Thanks for coming.
I know. Yeah, Miami-Vegas. Meanwhile, the early game on Fox, while we're getting Bills-Washington, most of the country is getting Chicago-Cleveland.
Huh.
All of the
Midwest.
Oh,
wow, look at that, yeah.
All of the West. I mean, that's going to have huge numbers in Ohio. You've got the Browns against Justin Fields, who's going to start because Andy Dalton's not ready to go.
Right.
So, geographically, most of the country is getting Chicago-Cleveland.
I think it's process of elimination, right? Look at the other games. If I wasn't watching the Bills in Washington, to me, the game I would watch is New Orleans and New England. I think it's because we just talked about some of this stuff. I'm still trying to figure out how are the Saints good. Of course, they're going to play the Bills later this season. I want to watch Mac Jones. I want to see New England. But it's Chicago, Cleveland, Atlanta, the Giants. Not sure how many people want to see that. Bills, Washington, Arizona, Jacksonville. Well, Arizona's fun to watch. Although, see, DeAndre Hopkins didn't practice yesterday.
I did not see that. Okay.
Yeah, he didn't practice yesterday. I forget what the exact injury was. But he was a DNP. in case you know anybody who has DeAndre Hopkins on one of his...
Who just bid half of his budget to get DeAndre Hopkins added to his guillotine roster.
Oh, did that happen to you this week? Oh, for goodness.
Thanks.
Sorry. I'm trying to help out. Our job is to inform people. Anyway, I would watch New Orleans, New England myself. And Chicago would probably be my second choice after that. There's definitely a curiosity factor to watch Justin Fields. He didn't do so well when he came in last week for Dalton, but Baker Mayfield is still fun. I think New Orleans, New England, out of those five games, to me, is the game that's most intriguing to watch. And we're getting a CBS late game?
No, CBS single header.
Oh, okay. Vegas. Oh, that's right. We're not going to get the CBS early game, right, because the Bills are playing?
Yes.
All right. Yeah, well, who cares? I mean,
it's not always the case this year. There will be times where that you do have a game going up against the home team.
Right. That used to be a rule, right? But that's not in place anymore.
Not anymore, no.
Yeah. I would – first off, you're not watching Miami-Vegas if, you know, the Fox late game just blows away everybody else. In fact, I'm just looking at the map. Okay, sure, that makes sense. Most of the country is getting that, and then – the northern part of the country from looks like half of Wisconsin and west, and the northern part is getting Seattle, Minnesota, which makes sense, right? The Vikings, Seahawks, so that part of the country is going to get that. I'm all over Tampa Bay Rams. Who wouldn't be? That's an outstanding matchup. Miami-Vegas, I think, is going to be a dog now. If Tua was playing and Vegas is off to a 2-0 start, okay. But, you know, Tua's out with the fractured ribs. Jacoby Brissett's going to play. I don't think the Dolphins' offense is going to do much of anything. It sounds like Carr's going to play. He was questionable with an ankle injury, for those of you who have Derek Carr on your teams. But John Gruden came out yesterday and said he thinks Carr will be good to go on Sunday. That game shouldn't be close. I would think Vegas will blow them out.
Yep. All right. The Dahlin contract. What do you think?
Yeah, fine. But it's a little higher maybe than some were anticipating in terms of average annual value. But
yeah, it's probably an overpay, whatever. But it's not. Certainly got the room for it.
It's not. It's not like they, you know, they're not paying him Heiskanen money or anything. So that's fine. $6 million a year, 3 years, great. He's locked up. Don't have to worry about it. Let's see what he does. Hopefully, in 3 years, this team will be good again. Hopefully, before 3 years, this team will be good again. And then he can, if he's that good, and they're good, and they're winning, then we'll tackle the whole, is he worth top defenseman money 3 years from now? In the meantime, he signed. It's not a bad deal. Like you said, they've got plenty of cap space. That's not a problem. It won't hamstring them over the next 3 years, and that contract is out of the way. So I'm completely okay with it.
One of the first comments I saw was that the Sabres did not learn their lesson from Sam Reinhart, who they, you know, didn't lock up to a long-term deal. They kept bridging him. One thing you could have done with Dahlin is gone 2 years instead of three. That way, when it's over, you know, you have that two-year leverage. Right now, the way it plays out, Dahlin could do the same thing Reinhart does, which is say, yeah, I'm going to sign a qualifying offer and then I'm leaving. Yeah. I'm not going to stay past this year, which is why the Sabres traded Sam Reinhart. I mean, yes, the situation could be similar or the same. If the Sabres are still in the same spot where 3 years from now good players want to leave, want to just like, oh, give me a year and get me out of here,
yeah,
then they've got bigger problems than that.
Yeah, I wouldn't be worried as much about it. I was looking at – so Reinhart got his three-year entry-level deal, and then it looks like he got a two-year contract and then a one-year contract, and now he's gone. For what it's worth, I mean, they tacked on the third year for Dahlin. So instead of 2 years, you got 3 years.
And but it's the same concept.
It's the same concept, yeah. Absolutely. It's not a long-term. They didn't give him the, hey, let's give him the eight-year, whatever, million-dollar contract. I'm not worried about it. It's fine. You know, if I'm Dahlin, quite honestly, why would I want to sign an eight-year? Why would anybody want to sign an eight-year deal right now in Buffalo?
Money.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm going to get paid unless I have some freakish career-ending injury. He's going to get paid. He's going to be fine. I would not have signed a long-term deal if I were Rasmus Dahlin. I don't know if the Sabres wanted to. I think this is fine. I'm not worried about Dahlin playing for 3 years and then being in another, we're headed down the Reinhart path.
Yeah.
Again, Reinhart wanted to be signed to a longer contract. But also, if you're Sam Reinhart and you hit this boat with free agency, why would you have stayed at this point?
Yeah, and he signed a couple of years in Florida, so he's, you know, he decided to give up that free agency and sign a contract.
Yeah, and he'll have another contract after that. That's not his – He didn't get the whole long-term mega deal to stay in Florida.
Years.
Yeah, he's going to stay there for a few years, see how it is, and then he can hit the market again if he wants.
So Dahlin's done. That was never I you know, when we talked yesterday about the guys that were still to be done, Brady Tkachuk, I saw that, you know, the conversation on him was like, we're progressing, we're talking. And the guys in Vancouver, too, right? Pedersen and
Quinn Hughes.
Okay. So a couple guys waiting for their contracts. Dahlin gets his. Maybe a slight overpay. Not the kind of thing I would worry about too much. I'm also not worried about the Reinhart scenario. You have his rights. Things have to be so bad for a player to say to management, I'm going to play this year on the qualifying offer and then leave.
Yeah.
Like that, that has to be so bad because you can offer, of course, more. And most guys, when they get to where Reinhart was, just take a bigger raise and stay where they are because they're not that unhappy.
Yeah.
So I'm just not worried about that too much. The one thing I saw, you know, fancy stats, hockey, and graphs. I like it. I respect it. Here's what I'm going to say about it. The Dahlin thing was charted. If you could reduce him to a little dot on a graph, his first season would have been under Phil Housley, and the dot was, hey, this player's actually pretty good. And then the second and third seasons under Ralph Kruger. Well, Howard, you rode the Superman Ride of Steel, right?
I did, yeah. I passed out for a moment, but boy. Yeah,
right, well, Rasmus Dahlin might have passed out for a moment because there was a pretty steep drop
yeah.
in, in his value to a hockey team when boiled down to a plot on a graph when Ralph Krueger came in. And all the things that he does not do well are obvious, and those are the things that the Sabres were asking him to do. So if there's a player to be excited about, and if there's a way out of this, you know, forest, then Don Granato finding a way to get the best out of Dahlin and starting from there, I mean, that's probably where to start, right? Yeah. That's the guy. He's got to be the key to quarterbacking games, not just the power play.
Oh, yeah. I mean, right? He and Joakim Harju are the top pairing D right now, aren't they? Yeah. Like, there's no question.
If that's the pairing.
Okay, well, Dahlin is the guy now. I mean, there's no question about that. He is going to be entrusted with being the guy back there and to be offensive and defensive and to not look lost like he did under Ralph Krueger and to look more, well, to look as comfortable as he did, and Joakim Harju for that matter, but to look as comfortable as he did once Granato took over. Among this, like, nobody expects him to be good this year. They might be dead last in the league again. They're pretty much a lock to extend their NHL record playoff drought. So it's, how does Dahlin look? What about Joakim Harju? Does Granato make the young players look better like he did last season when he took over for Krueger? Cousins, Mittelstadt. I mean, I don't know. We can go down the line to like Paterka and Matias Samuelsson, start naming all these young guys. So Dahlin playing well, I'm hoping he picks up where he left off and he has a little less going on in his brain because the coach now is saying, yeah, Rasmus, dude, go. Like, you're really talented. Go. Get in on offense, skate, have some fun, you know, play your game out there, and, you know, we won't beat you over the head with defensive zone principles. 803-0550 to join us on this lovely Thursday. Thanks for hanging out with us today. Hey, tonight we have a very important program here on WGR. It is called I'm Listening. It is at 6 o'clock tonight. It is a live 2-hour show featuring some of the biggest names in music and sports. There will be insight from some of the most respected mental health professionals as we strive to destigmatize talking about mental health. You will hear a number of personal stories tonight. Kevin Love, sports fans, Imagine Dragons, and many more. That is tonight from 6 to 8. I'm Listening, and we'll have it right here on WGR 550. You will also be able to hear it on the Odyssey app. And if you'd like more information on tonight's show, you can find it by visiting imlistening.org.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, the linebackers right now, guys, is where Buffalo is going to take advantage. You know, the tight ends and Cole Beasley on drag routes and crossing routes. The linebackers for Washington have really struggled. Bostic, Cole Holcomb, and rookie Jamin Davis, although there's some signs of life for Jamin Davis, their corners have actually been terrible. Kendall Fuller and William Jackson III, one's been worse than the other, and honestly, I'm not sure which ones have been worse. I mean, both have been bad. And Landon Collins is not good in coverage. So there's going to be some opportunities for the Bills to take big-time advantage to get Josh Allen and Steph Diggs and Beasley and everybody else on track here if they can buy Josh Allen a little bit of time.
It is Chris Russell from the Team 980 in Washington. He was on with us yesterday, gave us the lowdown on WFT, who the Bills will play, of course, on Sunday. Hey, heads up, a little update actually on a story Jeremy brought up the other day about this person, this bettor who had, well, had over $700,000 he could have won depending on the outcome of Monday night's game. He had a 16-leg NFL parlay. He hit the first 15 picks. And then this person, I don't know if it was a he, actually. So this person needed the Lions to win outright in Green Bay Monday night as an 11.5-point underdog. And Jeremy, you mentioned I wonder if this person hedged a bet.
Cashed out. There are some places you can sell a ticket like that for less than the win.
The answer is they did.
Good.
This person cashed out. That is according to BetMGM. That's where the ticket was or who it was through. BetMGM said the bettor cashed out for $133,000 pre-taxes. And there was a little bit of a kind of a twist to the story. So the person who made this bet, the 16-team parlay, they were using a free $25 promotional bet. So it wasn't even out of their own pocket. Normally, I guess, they don't give you the cash out option when it's a free bet. But they said they made the exception, quote, due to the amazing picks and unlikely odds. I mean, they did hit the first 15. They decided to let the person cash out and take the $133,000, which turns out to be the right move, because the Lions did not win outright on Monday night against the Green Bay Packers, so they would not have won $726,000. Hey, I saw the Bills line dropped a little bit. The line I had seen earlier in the week was 9.5. The line I saw today was 8. So you're taking the Bills anyway, right?
Yeah, I thought Mike made a good point on this, which is, you know, the Bills, they occasionally will blow other teams out. It's something that the Chiefs haven't done lately. That the Bills have, right? They blew out Miami. They blew out Denver. They blew out Miami again.
Yeah.
They blew out New England. Like the Bills sometimes will pile on points. And Mike's point was on the spread, and they're going to have Joe Ostrowski of BetQL, I think, on today.
Yep.
He said, if you're a someone setting a line, you might want to put it as high as you can to get people to go under it.
Hmm.
Because – right, if it's 7, I'll take the Bills plus, you know, or minus 7.
Mm-hmm.
9.5 where it started, you're trying to get people underneath it.
Yeah.
It's a big line. It looks big.
It does.
Because you want people underneath it. But in two games, the Washington football team has lost to the Chargers at home, and then they should have lost to the Giants.
Yeah, right.
If the Giants don't jump offside, they lose to the Giants.
And I think video evidence show the guy didn't actually
jump
offside?
He didn't jump offside.
Yeah.
So technically they lost.
They lost
to the Giants, and they got a free win out of it. You know, maybe Taylor Heinicke is better than Fitz. Maybe whatever. I like the Bills, and I would give 9.5. I think they're going to – I mean, they have something to prove. They're at home. Weather looks fine, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't check today, but it looked like it was going to be dry mid-60s.
Washington's defense gave up 29 to Daniel Jones.
Yeah, he ran a lot against them.
He ran all over them.
Yep.
Yeah, I love the Bills, and I would give the 9.5.
803-0550 to join us this morning. 888. Oh, this is awesome. You mentioned the weather.
Right?
Huh?
Although I only have to give 7 now.
8. I saw 8.
Okay.
Yes, this morning.
Well, then I'll give 8. I won't give the 9.5 if I don't have to.
I think it was BetOnline was 8. I mean, obviously you can see different lines from all the different betting companies. I just checked. We were talking about the weather, and I thought, I got to get a hold of Patrick Hammer. He already sent me the weather for it. He's a good man, Patrick Hammer, over at Channel 2. No change to the Sunday forecast. He wrote, I know many weather apps are showing rain on Sunday. We still feel it will be dry and breezy, just a few showers in the hills. So if that's right, we're talking dry, mid-60s, breezes to 15 miles an hour, the forecast for Sunday at Highmark Stadium. When we get back, more Bills football is on the way, and we will be chatting with Bills defensive back Taron Johnson. He's going to join us at 7:20. That's coming up, WGR.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way.
Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game 10, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.